Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It is a privilege to be with you today, straight up 2 o'clock Eastern Time, Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. Welcome to our live episode of Great I Am Radio. You know, each week it is my desire to bring you conversations and special guests with whom to have those conversations that highlight areas of life, topics, issues, challenges, and the context, the tools, and the empowerment to face those seasons and circumstances powerfully. I call this the great I am, that human spirit, that essence of creator within us that really allows us to also be creator. And there is nothing more that embodies that essence of creator, birth. And I think we're all prone to and accustomed to in our cultures and practices and traditions to really love and adore and glorify that cycle. You know, there's nothing, you see couples get married, the first thing their families want to know, when are you having a baby? Right? Almost to a fault. We love babies. They symbolize hope and life and a fresh start and a new beginning and a world of possibilities. But we've glorified it. For some people, birth, pregnancy, have circumstances. It can have a shadow over it. It might not always be the best of situations that brought life to life. But ergo, perhaps we have lost our appreciation for death. I mean, it's part of life. It's unavoidable in life. As we all face birth, we all face death. And having hospiced my own mother and father, the last years of their lives, being their full-time caregiver. Some of you know my story, that I gave up my clinic and my practice as a holistic health practitioner and my wellness center to be able to stay home and live with my parents as I raised my own children. My husband and I also hospiced my mother and my father. My father passing in 2016, my mother passing in 2019. I also spent several years as an executive in senior living, specifically assisted living and memory care. And it was my privilege to serve people in their final chapters that resided in our communities. And so I've been blessed from my grandmother in 1978, who died right in front of me, my father's mother, to my own parents who transitioned in that same home many years later, to the strangers who became my family in the senior living communities who I got to walk with as they transitioned their loved ones. I've come to realize death is really underrated in our culture. It's undersold. It's frowned upon, it's shunned even. I think we've come to glorify birth and youth and the early stages of life so much that we have forgotten to respect and honor and appreciate the later season, the later chapter, and the final chapter itself. But we're all heading in that direction. And so my guest today is a special lady. She's in the Chicagoland area of Illinois here in the USA. And she has spent years of her young life developing herself as a doula that serves clients who experience a range of life's circumstances, such as birth, postpartum, and even abortion support. But it's now a season in her practice where she's expanded to incorporate full spectrum doula care so that she can offer care for people who are transitioning. And so I'm excited to have her on. It's a bonus that she's a fellow Assyrian. And it's my joy to support her building and expanding her practice, because her heart is to truly support people honoring and creating milestones and precious memories in these moments of life that are truly a rite of passage. And so today we're going to talk specifically about the rite of passage that death is and how we can more greatly honor that. Welcome to the show, Rinya Camper. Welcome, Rinya.
Hello, Shalom Aleich. How are you?
Shalom Aleich, Hati. I'm great. How are you?
Great. Talk to a fellow Assyrian sister out there who's, you know,
thinking
the same things.
That's right. I know.
In these communities, it's hard to find some Assyrians, you know, who get it, who understand what this kind of work is.
That's fantastic. Well, I definitely feel like you're my little sister from another mister.
Yes, totally. That's how it feels, for sure.
So, Rinya, before we get into the portion of our conversation that is death as a rite of passage, talk to us a little bit first about what drew you to the realm and field of doula training and services, period. What drew you to that?
Shout out to my little cousin, Francesca. I got to see my first cousin's birth. Actually, I was only 12 years old. And my aunt let me in the room when she was giving birth, and I saw my first cousin being born. That was the most pivotal moment of my life, because I became a practicing doula not long after that, at age 15, and then up until now, and I'm almost 30.
Wow.
So it's been
wow.
It was the most beautiful moment I've ever witnessed. It made me understand the power of women. It made me understand the power of the body and what we can do. And it made me really want to care more for my auntie who was going through labor. You know, like you were, I was just, I just had a aha moment when you were talking about what the great I am means. And for me, those moments of reproductive health, and now I'm learning death and dying, those are the moments when I see God, feel God, and I experience God,
yes,
the creator. You know, like Babi Alaha is like in that room, I can tell. And you can feel it in your body,
yes,
and it forces you to be present. And so to be that present with someone in the room made a big impact. I was only 12 years old, and it was, like, so cool. I had a huge smile on my face. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And as I'm growing older and life is happening around me, what has transitioned from birth is now transitioning into death, because that's the natural way when you grow older and you realize, like, there's more to life than, you know, like you said, just giving birth, you know, and it's all rainbows and sunshine. My grandparents both passed away, and I was basically the death doula for them. So that's how I ended up, you know, here. Yeah.
So what does then full spectrum doula mean to you? What is your desire in how you want to serve your clients in a full spectrum offering?
Well, first of all, I'm a huge activist, and I really believe everybody deserves a doula. So one of my biggest things is to create more doulas out there and find positions where they can fit into the healthcare system. So number one, I believe your most basic human right is that you're not alone when you give birth or when you die. Those are two things that I will not leave your side. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what happens, no matter how this birth or death goes, no matter how long it takes, no matter how many times you throw up or how messy it gets or whatever, I'm going to be there for you. That's what a doula is. And I believe everybody should have that. So part of why I put so much of my life energy and my heart into this work is because I guess you would understand because you're Assyrian, but back in like the home village is from where we're from, and in a lot of countries, you are not alone at birth or death anyway. Like, it's so weird that we have to hire people in this country to do something like this. You know, like, it's a normal thing to invite your mom, your sister, your aunties around you when you're giving birth, just like a doula. But for me, like, I'm a basically birth consultant, birth coach, and there's a whole formal position for it and a training and a certification, and you have to get hired, and you know what I mean? So, like, we've lost something in this country.
I know. What you've said is very poignant. I want to highlight it because, you know, I was, for a long time, I was with my parents from 2014 to 2019 in their process of going from independent to transitioning. And, you know, there are people that give me accolades for that. And I appreciate the recognition because it was something. But that's like saying, telling my parents, way to be there for your daughter. You know, of course I'm going to be there. Of course I'm going to be there for my parents. They're my parents. And I appreciate what you said about everyone deserves, nobody should be alone at these critical points. And to that point, there were times in senior living where, I mean, let's face it, you know, there's birth and there's death, but in between there's life. And some people have hurt people, have abandoned people. And so they might be in that season of transition and death for themselves. And they are grieving a life. They don't have people around them. Mm-hmm. People around them have distanced themselves, or maybe they've alienated their family. They are alone.
Yes.
And
what they don't tell you is that you're grieving
culture,
way before you're dying. Mm-hmm. Grief is so real, and you hold it in your
body.
Very
true.
Yep. And I'm learning there's something called grief massage. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Processing people's grief. I want to set you up strong for this answer. To process people's grief and to walk them into ways that they can, because people experience grief in a lot of different ways, the people that are transitioning as well as their loved ones. What are the ways that you're really wanting to support the people that are transitioning and their loved ones? And go ahead with the body and massage, but talk about other methods
please. First of all, if you know much about somatic experiencing, it's a big movement right now in therapy. And what they're learning now is that it's held in your body, and your emotions don't always have to be like psychoanalyzed for them to be processed and let go. It actually is stored in your body. And we don't practice like safe touch, especially as we age. We don't get touched as often by our family, by our friends. So massage, like very light massage, and somebody who's trained to talk through the emotions that will come up during some of these therapeutic sessions called grief massage. It's a whole like subcategory of massage therapy. I think that type of thing is so important because it helps you release like whatever's going on for yourself to be able to approach these situations in real life and approach your son who you don't talk to or your daughter who you never apologize to or, you know, something like that. Because at the end of your life, you can, you know, you're faced with everything right on the table, you know, and coming up with storybooks, coming up with memoirs and all that is wonderful of a thing to do. That's what I that's what I encourage people to do is, you know, write your story, visualize your story, go through some pictures, because at the end, you're the hero of your own story. You're the hero. It's the hero's journey. Actually, and it's a very powerful moment, but if the story is ending in a way that you're not comfortable with, you know, you need to be fully letting go and at peace with what's going on in your life. And actually, massage is a great place to start. Those situations are very sticky, and our nervous systems are dysregulated when we get triggered and things like that. So I guess it's feeling good in your body is number one, because at the end of your life, it really demands you to be, your body really demands you to be present. And the doula, the death doula, which is what I'm in the process of training to be, is it's a test of endurance, of how long you can stay present with someone. How much can you stay in the moment? Because it demands your attention, and it demands your it's a very sacred moment. And it's about respect and honor and just being in the moment with someone. Does that make sense? I know that's a little rambly.
It's okay. It makes a lot of sense. And I want to just highlight, you know, in my work with people transitioning, it might take you deliberately asking them, what do you have unfinished? It might be, it might take directly asking people, if you could do anything before you go, what would it be? If you could see anyone, if you could say anything to somebody, right? And a lot of places.
What have you always wanted to do?
You know, yes. And, you know, the answer is there for people. I said to my father's chaplain, we had a hospice company that came in-home that supported us who were there every day, all day long. They came in a few times a week, and there was a registered nurse that monitored the medical side of things, and there was a certified nurse's aide that did, like, showers and personal hygiene, dressing, and all that tending to care a couple days, times a week. And just to give the family relief, to give my father the care, right? We did this for my father and my mother. But there was also a chaplain that was made available to them. And I said to the chaplain at the time of my father, I said, listen, in our culture, we don't do a lot of, like, tell me your feelings kind of stuff. So nobody's going to show up here and say to my father, Shema Shazaya, is there anything unfinished, Julibuch, in your heart?
Right.
You know, to come
in your heart.
Ish, yeah. Right? That something doesn't leave in your heart, but to go, right? What is there that you might have? And so I said, would you please, his name is Terry, love the guy. He's been a guest on my show as well. I said, would you please have that conversation with my father? He respects you. If there's something, he'll tell you. And so he did.
Aww.
He had that conversation with my father. And you know, Rinya, what my father said? He said, if there's anything unfinished for him, it's that he isn't sure that he did a good enough job letting his family know how much he loved us.
Oh, my God. How beautiful. You're going to make me cry.
No. I know, right? I'm sitting over here crying. So when Harry came back
so
to
sweet.
Me, he said, Rebecca, this is what is on your dad's heart. This is what's, like, still there for him. We only had a couple, 2-3 months left together after that. But I started making a concerted effort that when we were together doing things, and he was still my dad to the end, he wanted to teach me things out of the Bible. He wanted to tell me something about the old country. He was still my father to the end. When he would do those things, I would kiss the top of his head and I would say, thank you, Bobby. I know you love me. That's why you're teaching me.
Aww,
I let him know that I knew he loved me. And listen, there's a lot of reason. There's a lot of conflict in my relationship with my father. If I wanted to build a case for he doesn't deserve to have me standing there doing that for him for years, I could have. But it's back to what you said, Rinya, that we come from a culture where the village takes care of everybody in every season.
Yes, community.
And you do not walk away. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we lost a lot of community. It's very isolated now.
So how do you feel like the West could begin? This is like a question out of the left field. We didn't even talk about this. But
it's okay.
I feel like you're the one that can answer it. Yeah. What do you think the West could really glean from our practices from the East to begin to weave a community again. We're so isolated.
Oh, that's such a good question.
And almost afraid of each other.
We are afraid of each other. And you know what? I don't think COVID did good things for human interaction. We isolated so much during COVID, and we forgot how to be present with each other. When we two people are in the room, you know what I see? They're most of the time on their phone. You know, like, we don't know how to be present. We've lost our attention span for being with each other. When's the last time you just sat and hung out and didn't have a TV going, didn't have anything going? You know what I mean? Like, because when you're giving birth and when you're dying, these experiences, nothing else in the world matters except that person. And why do we have to wait that long to figure that out? Why do we have to wait this long for these moments, these portals where we're talking to God, feeling God, you know, these major, major moments to realize how to be present with each other? Because, like, Eastern culture, I mean, if you study a little bit of yin-yang theory, you know, Chinese medicine theory and practice, like, they're all about harmony. They're all about balance. But, you know, as much as we go, 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 do the yang, yang, yang in this country, we really don't know how to yin. We really don't know the stillness, the rest, the peace, the silence.
Preach.
You know what I mean? We need to, like, figure out how to be with each other, because otherwise those moments are awkward. When someone's dying, sometimes it takes a really long, long, long time, and you're just sitting there with that person. You know, like, how do we learn how to be with each other? When someone's giving birth, sometimes it takes 40 hours. My longest birth was 36 hours. Full, like, it's a long time. You know, like, you have to learn how to be with people. Through thick and thin, when you're not feeling good, when you're feeling cranky, hungry, tired, sore, because what they're going through right now, like, that's what matters more, unfortunately. You matter, you know, too, and yes, but in the middle of a childbirth situation that's kind of an emergency, you know, or if someone's, like, literally just went through a car accident, someone dies tragically, death doulas work in all types of settings. It doesn't have to be this long process, but, like, it demands you. It demands your attention. God just shakes your body around, and it brings you down to your core, and you're sort of like, I'm here. I'm present. I'm going to help. I don't care what it takes, but I'm going to help. That's what doulas do. And, like, in Eastern culture, they talk about how there's nothing but the present moment. Meditation is all about being present. Buddha is all about telling you to focus on your breath and just be present. Because being a doula is like I said, it's like an endurance. It's like a marathon of presence. How long can you go before you have to check your phone and zone out? You know what I mean? In the Western world, our attention is all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of what I think. Being present is my first answer.
How soon do you start working with your clients? If someone's going to either, you know, whether on the birth side or the death side, when do people usually start engaging with you and saying, hey, I'm thinking about hiring you. How far out is smart for me to start working with you?
Oh, it really, really varies depending on when people find out what a doula actually is, because most people don't know what doulas are. Usually a friend recommends them or something like that. It also depends on what you can afford when you start your services. But generally, I do like 6 prenatals. And then that is usually around the beginning of the third trimester. So I do like 6 prenatal visits. I do the whole birth from start to finish when they feel like they're going into labor, all the way until after the birth. And then one or two postpartum visits to make sure breastfeeding and sleep is going okay. And in terms of the death doula work, so I operated as a death doula for, like, relatives and friends, things like that. But I'm in the middle of training for that, and I'm studying it. I've been through some of it, had some life experiences with it. But
that's great.
I don't consider myself a practicing death doula for the public yet. I'm coming up with programs where I am working with death doulas who are trained and certified. But I currently don't know the timelines on those types of things that I offer. Other people, it varies. Sometimes they hire when they find out that they have a terminal illness, and that could take years. So you can hire a death doula and have a death doula companion for years. People don't realize, like, if you can like put this into your budget, you can have somebody who's trained, who's empathetic, who's going to be there for you. Side, you can hire, you know, a friend, basically, like a companion person for you. So it really, really varies. Postpartum is usually planned right after the birth. Either they were on the fence about getting a postpartum doula, and they didn't, like, get it at the baby shower or something like that before the baby was born. But once the baby is born, they're like, okay, we really need the postpartum doula, because if you know what it's like, I'm sure, because you're a mom. Having a baby is a lot, and you need help. If you can't afford it, they hire postpartum doulas, and they hear about what a postpartum doula is. So that varies.
And births
from,
are very, very like, different. So having someone be there for you, you know, my first pregnancy was relatively easy. I mean, it ended up being an unplanned C-section. It wasn't an emergency, but it was definitely unplanned.
Wow.
And I had been working with a midwife and was really ready to do this like natural experience, but that pregnancy went relatively smoothly and postpartum, et cetera. But my next pregnancy was, or my next birth rather, because I did miscarry, my next birth went differently because my son and I were ABO incompatible. It went full term, undetected, untreated. My health was really destroyed in that process. His health was really destroyed. We spent a week in NICU, his first couple weeks of life. His bilirubin levels were really high. He was jaundiced. They told us that he'd fried his brain. And, you know, we really went through a lot. And I wasn't familiar at that time with the kind of support that I really needed. And a doula really would have made a difference for me, because once we delivered, we had trouble with him latching, and frankly, he and I had been in so much contraindication our entire pregnancy that once he was out of me, it was like we were both like, get her away from me, get him away from me. And it was really confusing as a mother to not want to hold my child. I didn't want to hold him. I even said to my mother at one time, oh God, forgive me. I said to my mother at one point, I don't love him like I love Noah. And my mother was like, Rebecca Lynn. And I'm like, Mom, it's not that I don't love him. It's that I don't feel it. Like, I'm so, he and I, like, he cries and I hand him to Brian and he doesn't want me. I'm not comforting to him. He doesn't want to be with me. He won't latch. He doesn't find me to be peaceful, because we had this, you know, 9.5 months of being allergic to each other, trying to kill each other off. And so it took literally 2 years for me and Aiden to recover emotionally from what we'd experienced with his in utero life. But nobody was around us to walk us through that. Nobody was around me to comfort me. Nobody was, like, the thought of having someone being there with me through it all, that could have saved what happened to my marriage next. That fueled what went wrong between me and my husband. Like, we were in such a cesspool of grief and chemical overload and imbalance and trauma. And, you know, someone like you offering what you offer would have been a grounding force.
Like a fairy godmother.
It would have been a lifeline.
Yes, exactly. Once you have a doula, you can't go back. People who get doulas are just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this exists. This is the most amazing thing ever. I mean, I'm working on trying to make doula care more accessible, because the thing is, like, doulas need to get paid, and insurance companies are starting to pay them, but it's not been rolling out as quickly as, you know, in practice, things take a long time to roll out. So I really want to, like, popularize doula care. I think it would be so helpful to you in your situation, and it would be helpful for me personally when I age and when I have to pass away someday. I want a death doula. I want someone to be concerned about how I remember myself, what my memoir says, or what, you know, vision boarding myself into the other realm. You know, like, how do I want to feel? What do I want to smell? do I want to be touched? Do I like this type of music? How can somebody be pampering?
Yes.
How can I feel like a queen and exit this world, like, with style? You know, like, what can I do to feel great? Because I treat them the way I want to be treated, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to, like, take care and hold them and rock them and sing to them just like they're a baby. Because when you age, you lose your abilities, and eventually you need to get cleaned, you need to get fed, you need to get cared for, just like babies need help. And it was such an honor, and it felt so, like, right and so, like, sacred to take care of my grandmother, who was so affectionate with us growing up, and she fed us, and she was so loving, and she was such a village Assyrian classic mom, like Coco, Mama Coco, from Coco, the movie. And I love the way the Mexican tradition honors the dead, the Day of the Dead. They keep their ancestors alive by remembering them, by celebrating their lives.
That's right.
This is not something to be stigmatized and shying away from. Everyone's got to do it. Everyone's going to do it. Why don't we talk about it a little
more? That's right.
You know? I think they should make another movie, like Coco, how a Coco explores death, and Pixar really looks into how another culture views death and treats death. I think they should do a birth one. I think Pixar should do a destigmatizing birth video, at least a video or a movie. That would be so amazing, because Coco really did good things for the death positive movement. It's a whole movement. Look it up.
It is. You know, when my mother was transitioning, my mother wanted to play her cards a little differently. My father was kind of stoic about it. He was like, you guys will handle it when I go. Like, you'll handle it when I go. That was kind of the thing. The only thing he really made sure I understood, because he was a clergy, he was ordained in the church, there was protocol. So that was the only thing he really deliberately sat down and talked with me about. But the everything else, the funeral arrangements, the programs, the music, anything, he was like, between you and your brother and your mother, I'll be gone. You do what you want to do. My mother, was different. My mother said, I want to see people as I give them the things. I don't want to leave a will and I'm going to be gone and you're going to be getting stuff from me. I want them to come to my house so I can see them and love them possibly for the last time and give them what I want them to have. And see their expression. I want to see the expression on their face when I give them the jewelry or the jacket or the picture or the book or the whatever. The last 10 months of my mother's life was bad. It was me reaching out to people in her life, some who were regular, some who she hadn't seen in years, and reaching out and saying, my mother would like to connect with you. And sometimes it was a FaceTime call or a telephone call if they were far away. Many people were local enough that they made the visit. They wanted to see her. They wanted to hug her and touch her and laugh with her one more time. And people came from states away, or some people were local. But my mother got to hand people things and say, I wanted to make sure you got this for me before I go. And, you know, that was the way she wanted to go. And it was my honor to help her go the way she wanted to go. So that nothing was
left. That's awesome.
You know, she was complete.
You were the doula. You were the
I did.
You were the doula in a lot of ways. That's what you did. You're the death doula. It just kind of happens. Like, we came up with a name, doula, for it. That's an ancient Greek word that means, like, person who serves, person who assists, person who helps or cares. But, you know, that's essentially what it is. Except they also handle the logistics. So doulas can help you with your will, help you with the burial process, help you with the funeral, support the family continuously after the passing. Because you're not just the doula for the person who is passing, you're the doula for the family and the friends of the people. So it's
so
kind of, it's very, it's a nice form of care that's very versatile. We have so many tools in our toolkit. And it's something that I really hope spreads, really takes root, and people hire more doulas and have more doula programs out there because they're much needed. People shouldn't have to be alone or full of regrets or anxieties. Like, death doesn't have to be. So it's a part of life. Birth is a part of life, too. And the media in this part of the world, especially, really does a disservice to death and birth. They're both moments that are opportunities of very, very sacred, precious memories with the people that you love the most. And we shouldn't treat it as if it's this epic tragedy we never talk about, or a fear, so much fear. We should, you know, be very open about the things that we all have to go through, just face it head on, and have a sense of humor maybe, or, you know, like, let's have some positive emotions around this. Like, I personally always used to love, this sounds weird, but like dissecting bugs. Like, I had like little bugs. Like, I always loved looking. It was fascinating to like observe like how this process is like happening. And it makes you contemplate your own death, your own possible birth in the future, or your birth in the past. Like, it just stimulates life. And it makes me, like I said, connect with God. Like, I feel like if I pray during those moments, like, that's a very strong prayer. It's a very sacred time. And it can be beautiful. It doesn't have to be scary or any of those things.
I love your spirit about all of this, Rania. I really am grateful that, you know, as a young woman, you could be focused on so many things other than death. But I think it's such a healthy and empowering place to stand that throughout your lifetime, you have been standing as a guardian and gatekeeper, not just of birth or death, but birth and death, you're the keeper of life. And that's what I hear in your sharing and in your desire to support people. It's, we call it birth, we call it death, but what I hear you saying is life has many seasons, and through those seasons we need support. And I am here to be a beacon of light in situations where you might succumb to dark thinking.
Exactly. I appreciate that. You worded it so well.
Yeah, what a precious gift you are. I have put our page here with this, with today's episode, I put your email. If y'all want to reach out to Rania, I mean, obviously you hear her passion and you know that she is growing in her practice, and some of you are going to want to support her growing in her practice and fulfilling her dream to make an impact. Some of you really need her. You're someone who is in a situation where it's like, oh my gosh, this person just fell out of heaven for me. So her email is support@pamperedbirthing.com. I like to say that in life, we call it birth, but it's birth from the spiritual into the physical. And in life, we call it death, but it's birth from the physical back to the spiritual. So it's all birth. So I love that it's pampered birthing, because I consider it all birthing. So support@pamperedbirthing.com. Right?
Yes.
It's all,
it is.
You know,
it's universal.
It's a part of the continuum. Right. It's,
yes.
We're all, you know, our breath is in these skin sacs for a really short time, but breath in the body, breath out of the body is still breath, right? So we're the keepers of breath, keepers of life,
keepers
in all
of
its ebbs and flows.
And you know what?
Absolutely.
On the note of death, one last thing, I would personally like to become a tree. Did you know your body can become literally a tree, and then you can be breathing in the carbon dioxide and letting out the oxygen, the opposite of what we do, which is breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. Your body can be in a tree pod, and you can grow as a, you know, in a
I've
forest
heard
somewhere.
This.
That's an option. So increasing birth options is another thing doulas do. Definitely do your research. I'm really glad that you're helping spread awareness about this, because I'm so passionate about it, and I really think nobody should be alone at those moments. So I really appreciate you. This is a great show.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of you. And listen, as your practice develops and you're rolling out more services and more programs, please come back on so that we can talk about that and let people access those new expanded services.
Awesome. That sounds
Any
great.
Final words for us
Rebecca.
Today, my sister? Absolutely. What message would you like to leave the people with today as we close?
So I would like to say about one more subject about death. It's not the final phase of life. It's just a new beginning. Just a new beginning in your cycle, you know? And I hope that helps anybody out there find some comfort. It's all just a cycle. It's a circle. It's not a line from start to finish.
We are
not ending. We are just beginning over and over again.
Yes. Amen. God bless you, Khati, my sister. I'm really proud of you. I look forward to having you back
on
the show again soon. God bless your work.
Yes.
All right, take care.
Sure. I appreciate you.
All right.
Bye, Rebecca.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye. What a sweet spirit. She's so excited to be doing the work that she's doing. You can hear it. It's like the passion just flows. And how considerate. You know, my children grew up in our home where we hospiced my parents. And so some people might say that's kind of dark. You know, you've got your kids around death. They grew up, their youth, their childhood was around death. I get it. Mine was too. I feel like I lived at Brown's Funeral Home on Davison Road in Flint, Michigan as a child, like up to 10, 12 years old. It was like, might as well have been like my aunt's house or going to church or something. We were always at the funeral home. And so I get it. I get it. It wasn't always like the best of quote unquote and best of environments because yes, it was around death. It was around people that were crying. Yes, it was around hardship. It was around intensity and tensions. And yes, yes, that's true. But look at me now. One of the things I pride myself the most, and not like an arrogance, but what I cherish about myself is I have the capacity emotionally to sit with people in any season of their life, to be prayerful with them, to laugh with them, to encourage them, to cheerlead them, to endure alongside them, no matter what someone is facing. I have a bandwidth inside of me. That's been super helpful, by the way, as a wife, as a mother, as a sister, as an auntie, as a daughter, as a holistic health practitioner, as a purpose coach, as a minister. And just, I mean, you know, as a lady driving through traffic, walking in and out of grocery stores, it's good to be able to have a capacity, a bandwidth for barnashuta, for humanity. It's good to be able to develop in ourselves the ability to sit with things, situations, issues, emotions, so that we're not just hair-triggered over everything in life. In fight or in flight or in freeze or in fawn. We got a million of them now. Anything, a bunch of words that just simply describes this. I can't be with it, so I shut down. Pick whatever word it is, but we can't be with it, so we shut down, and shut down looks like so many different things, but it doesn't have to be. There's an opportunity. Life is an opportunity right to the last moment. Life is an opportunity. You heard in this conversation with Rinya, you could be a tree. You want to be put in a tree bulb? Life is an opportunity right to the end, which is not the end, but a new beginning, another chapter, another incarnation, if you will. All part of the continuum, the circle of life, she said, not a straight line with a beginning and an end. These words we use, let's say birth and death, are simply for us to articulate and distinguish milestones of human life, which is temporary anyway. This type of support is available in your local area. I know Rinya is in the Chicagoland area. So for some of you, that's conducive. For some of you, you might just need to Google, you know, Google what doulas near me, right? You might have to just go do some homework. If you're someone who is in the spectrum of care for people with serving you from the godly woman. We're happy to serve you. Oh, grief. So much grief counsel. So much life season counsel happens in our chambers of the godly woman, because we're not always being guided in life. There's not necessarily a book, a roadmap to follow, and there aren't necessarily people in our lives. You know, as Renia said, some cultures are very rich with community and taking the stand that it takes a village to raise the child, quite literally. My grandmother functioned as a wet nurse in her community. My husband's grandmother, great-grandmother functioned as the midwife, actually birthing babies. And so you don't have to be alone. And there are people, even total strangers, who are so passionate about the human spirit, who are so passionate about the human heart and soul, that they have made it their profession, their art, their craft, their science, to offer themselves to you in those most vulnerable rites of passage. So please do not hesitate to reach out to us. If you'd like, you can just simply connect here through the radio platform by emailing connect@greatiamradio.com. That is connect@greatiamradio.com. It is my honor to be with you each week, bringing you conversations, topics, guests who have something to offer to enrich your life. That is a promise that we have here at Great I Am Radio, but serves really as the extension, an on-air extension of our ministry, Great I Am Ministries, and Heaven on Earth Community Centers. If you would like to book one-on-one sessions with me, please call 810-432-0065. Again, 810-432-0065. I will be back on the air next week with David Lee. Our topic, love your trauma, heal your trauma. He and his wife, Paige, have a coaching service, and they're going to talk to us. He's going to talk to us about their mission and their desire to support people in the healing process. They offer something called polarity therapies, polarity coaching. So we're going to hear about more of the yin and yang. We heard Renia talk about that a little bit today. We're going to hear much more about the yin and the yang and how our true access to healing our trauma is loving our trauma. Thank you for being with me today. Bless you. I hope you'll join us on in our Facebook community, Activating Your Great I Am, where we share many of the tools, practices, inspiration, and encouragement to help each of us live that great I Am life. God bless you, and I'll see you next week. Peace.